I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. You are holy, 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 holy. I want to see you.
Amen. I'm so glad that we can see him. Amen. Anyone that wants to see him, you can see him. Amen. God bless you this evening. I'm not going to sing. But good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Amen. And the Lord's always good to us. Amen. So if you have your Bibles tonight, we'll look into Scripture. And we'll look in Ephesians chapter 4 and beginning at verse 1. And then we'll go to 1 Corinthians 12. And certainly appreciate the prayers for our family, my sister and them. And remember me, Friday I'll be doing the funeral. So y'all just remember us in prayer. We'll be traveling, and we don't understand all things, but we know God's always in control. All things work together for the good. And so I know there's many needs, but he's a prayer answer in God. Whatever we have need of, he's the answer. Amen. I put my confidence in him. Amen. So before we read the scripture, let's just bow our heads and just speak to the author this afternoon. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be gathered with those of like precious faith. And Father, we just commit ourselves to you, Lord. We know that we're insufficient in ourselves, Lord, but you're the one that, Lord, you're the one that makes us sufficient in all things, Lord. And Lord, each one that's here tonight, Lord, you know each need, each desire. Lord, we just pray that you just come and touch each one here, Lord, the ones that couldn't be here tonight. Lord, you know all the needs. And Lord, we know that we just commit them to you, Lord, because, Lord, we can't do anything in ourselves, Lord, but we can put our confidence in you. And Lord, we just pray that tonight, Lord, you just speak to us, give us the words of eternal life, Lord. Give us what we have need of today. And Lord, there's so many that have needs. And so many times, Lord, I read online and there's so many that have needs. And Lord, it's hard to remember everybody, Lord, but you know who they are. And Lord, we just commit them to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we lift up our pastor, Brother Dale and Sister Dale, Lord, the Dale family, Lord, you know all that they're going through. And we just commit each one of them to you, Lord. Just lift them up. And Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, for all the blessings that you've given us. Lord, all the miracles that we've seen. And Lord, sometimes we don't realize it, but just to be in this building tonight's a miracle. Lord, it's an overcoming. And Lord, we just thank you for that, Lord, because we know we can't do it in ourselves, Lord. But Lord, through you we're more than conquerors. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We just look unto you tonight for all that we have. We commit all things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 4, and verse 1. And we're going to read through 13. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore ye saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then we'll flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll begin at verse 12. Very familiar scripture. And it says, For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into that one, into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. And just want to read verse 20. Here it says, but now there are many members, yet but one body. And he says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And tonight I want to speak on being unified by the word. And I love this scripture here where it talks about where Paul picks up in Ephesians and he begins to talk about what God done, that he came to bring us through the Spirit to bring us all into one body. And he brings us all through all these things. And we see that what he done, because the work that he done on Calvary, what he done to bring us in to fellowship with him, to bring us into this body. So by one Spirit, we're all baptized into that body. By his grace, we were brought into that. And because of what he done and brought us into that, then he says that he gave some apostles or prophets. And he said he gave evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of that. Because God started on a path with us because he brought us in there. But for us to come to our perfection, there's only one way that God has called people, and that is through a fivefold ministry. Because the scripture tells us that how he's going to do this, how he's going to bring us through. And the only way that you're going to be unified, how you're going to come to this place, to the perfecting of the saints, for us to be edified together, to edify the body of Christ, there's only one way to do that, and that is through the Word. And the Word puts a fivefold ministry. Because God always works through a man. He had his prophets that came to speak through the Word through all down through history, down through the ages, we've all seen how God spoke to man, and God had a man that he gave him the vision of what he wanted, and that man began to speak, and God brought that man through, and he called him to do that job, and no matter what come against him, he always overcome because the word went forth, and God had a vision of what was going to take place, and it didn't matter how many devils in hell came against it, he wasn't going to stop the plan of God. And he always overcame. And brothers and sisters, we have received a message in our day. We have received the word in our day. We have received what God gave us, what came directly from the mind of God, came in our day and spoke to us to bring us to a place, because what God visioned in his mind, you and I are the people that's been called to that vision. And let me tell you, if it was in the past when Moses walked on the earth and there was no devils in hell that was going to stop them, but they were going to bring forth, and when Joshua walked through the land of promise, him and Caleb walked through and saw the vision of what God told Moses, and he spoke to them, and they walked through that, and he came across, and they told him, said, we're more than able to take the land because we've seen it, because exactly what the prophet has said is just saith the Lord. And you know what? I've seen it with my own eyes, and you know what? There's nobody's going to stop me, because I have received a spirit that's inside of me that has quickened me, that I know what my possession is. And it didn't matter that Caleb had to wait 40 years to come into that place that he walked in, because when he was old and gray and stoop-shouldered and everything like that, it didn't change who he was, because when he come back in there later, he told Joshua, he said, I'm just as capable to take this land as I was when I walked through it. God called me to this place, and nothing's going to stop me. Well, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, the same promise waits for you and I, because you and I have been called to this place, that you know what? There's somebody that's standing on the face of the earth that has heard the end time message, and that will take a body change. That's what you and I have been called to. God has called us. Well, thank God that I have received the understanding, the revelation to understand that God has called men in this last day that have been given the word to speak to us, for us to come to the place that we all can become in unity of the word, that we can all come to the place where we all come to the unity of the faith, the unity of the spirit, that we all can walk worthy of the vocation that God has called us to, because we have all been placed into this body, and because as the scripture says, as Paul was speaking here, because we're not all of the same group, and we're not all called to the same thing. Well, you know what? It doesn't make any big eyes or little use, but we're all important. We're all important in the plan of God. No matter where you've been called to, you've got a job to do. And whatever God has called you to, all God wants from you, all God requires of you, is to be faithful. That's all God wants, is us to be faithful to what God has called us to. If we can just be called and just be faithful to the God's calling. If we can just realize who we are. And this is from the message here, ye him. And Brother Bram says, he said, that's what's the matter with the church today. The reason that we don't have great manifestations. He said, the great church of the living God in this last day should be far down the road with every divine gift set in order. A great, beautiful church. But he said, we've been broke up with denominations, isms, a little fusses, and everything. He said, till God can do no more with us, until we come together and get our hearts right with God. He said, that's why our blessings are about to run out. He said, it's getting cold and cooling off. It's because we've been indifferent towards God, His Spirit, and His Word. And so we see that because Brother Branham could see the changing because of what had taken place here in the moving of Azusa Street. And he waited, you know, 50 years was supposed to be the Jubilee. And he could see, hey, in 50 years from the day of the Azusa Street falling, he could see all of the changes that had taken place when they should have been so much further down the road from where they were when the Holy Ghost fell and the gifts of the Spirit were placed in the church and all these things. When they seen the opening of the Word had taken place, and when Brother Branham began to preach the word to them, then all of a sudden he could see that they had fallen away from where they had originally came from. How many times he stood there and told them? He said your parents and your grandparents, he said, they wouldn't stand for this. And he said, y'all went just like a dog right back to its vomit. A hog right back to its wallow. He said, God delivered you from that and you went right back into it. And how terrible it was. But God sent a message in our day. That he brought us out of that. That we can stand and see. Because you know, it's up to us to take this message and carry it on. It's us to live this life. But you know what? It's not me and myself doing it. But it's being yielded to the Holy Spirit. Because if I am a child of God, then He is dwelling inside of me. Then you know what? The only thing that stops the Holy Spirit from moving is Aaron Roberts. I'm the greatest hindrance that I have. But you know what? The greatest asset that I have is me. Because you know what? When I hear the word, I can act on it. Because you know what? That's what God called me to do. God called me to live the life. He wants me to take it and live it and operate it. It's like, well, we're just going to wait on Brother Wade to do it. We're going to wait on Brother Bob. We're going to wait on somebody. No, it's you. God wants you to do it. God wants me to do it. Brother Branham says, he said in the message, conflict between God and Satan, he said the real true bride would be united by the word. Amen. And that's where I got this title from. He said the true bride must be unified by the word. He says if she is a part of Christ, she has to be the word of Christ. In order to be the word of Christ, you have to be baptized into Christ. And when you're in Christ, you believe Christ, and Christ is the word. He said the bride must be unified together by the word. See, he was speaking of Esther. You know, because Esther had a commission of what she was called to do. You know what? There was death in the land. But you know what? There was nobody else that was going to do, that was able, because when Mordecai gave her the word, there was nobody else that was going to be able to fulfill that except for Esther. Death laid at the door. And the only person that had access to the king that would be able to do anything about it was Esther. But what did she do? She didn't go in there by herself. She went up there and she told all the Jews. She said, pray and fast. Pray and fast with me. Why? Because I'm getting ready to do something that I'm facing death. She was the one that had to do that. But you know what? She had people that was unified with her to go before the king. There was something that she was called to do. And it was like, well, the Jews didn't say, well, you know what? It ain't none of my... No! They were all under that curse. They all faced death. Because of the king's decree. But you know, every one of them, they got together with her. And we were praying and seeking God when she went in there. See, it takes everybody working together. See, he was speaking of the bride adorning herself. Just like Esther did. See, she had to get ready. She had to prepare herself. And the bride has to do the same thing. He said, what has she got? Speaking of the bride. He said, what has she got? He said, assembling together in the fellowship of the word. Amen. Fellowship of the word. Fellowshipping, sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He said, tonight, one accord, one place, one spirit, one mind, one hope, one God, one purpose. Amen. See, there you are. Every time the Bible says anything, we say amen. Punctuating every word with amen. See, because they had to do, just those Jews had to get in the same channel that Esther got in. Because they had to get desperate that they realized what was going to take place. And so she could walk into that place, into the king's chamber. And all those people had been praying and fasting. You know, when it got to that point, when it got real, you know, they wasn't always worried about what was going on in the news, what the neighbors were doing, what anybody else was doing. Why? Because it became important to them. Why? Because the seriousness of the time became the most important thing to them. When they realized where they were at, then all of a sudden they got to the place where they got serious with God. And then they began to pray. Well, then Esther could go in on those prayers to help. You know, because that was a nerve-wracking thing that she had to do. Very nervous. But see, those prayers is what helped her go through that. She didn't go in there all by herself. But she realized the condition. She was the one that could go into the king's presence and bring that petition before them. And brothers and sisters, it's the same way with you and I. Sometimes we think we're insignificant. We miss God's calling sometimes because we don't realize the position that we're in. You know, many times Brother Branham had told a story about the sister, and you know, when the baby was there and the mother, and you know, she was standing there and the Lord kept telling her to pray for that baby. And you know, she didn't want to do that. Because she thought she was insignificant to do that. You know, she began to question the calling of God. And then when she saw that, you know, this mother, she's standing there, she's got a prayer card. It's like, well, I'm not going to pray for this baby because Brother Branham's going to do it. But you know what? That burden laid on that mother because, see, that's what God told her to do. And you know, and then she tried to appease herself just by carrying the baby or letting the lady sit in her chair or whatever. But you know what? God never got her away from that calling. That was a desire that God had placed on her. It was something that God had placed on her to do. And you know what? It didn't matter what she was like, sister, can I pray for your baby? Because I just can't get away from this. But what did Brother Branham say when she came up into the prayer line under discernment? He's like, that sister back there, she prayed for the baby. It's already healed. Right. And then when he said that, he said, see, she was a mother. She could enter in. He said, I might not have been able to do that. I'm not a mother. But she was a mother. She could do something. But it also showed that God was not a respecter of persons, because when he had something to do, there was something that he wanted that sister to do. And so that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to realize, you know, when God wants us to do, then check it by the word. But sometimes we think we're so insignificant to do something that God is trying to get us to do something. It's like, well, you know, it's somebody else's job. You know, and if we spend all of our time dealing with how insignificant we are, you know, we never would get out of bed. We never would do anything, because all we could do is just living a life of our own insignificancy. But thank God that God has called us to a place that, you know what, it's when we get to the place we realize that we are insignificant. We are insufficient, but God has made us to the place we are. God has given us what we have need of, because if we've been birthed out of this old life, if we've born out of this flesh, this old pest house, and been born into the kingdom of God, then guess what? God's not looking at your old flesh anymore, but he's looking at you through the blood. See, if we can see who we are, God wants us to see that, you know, because all things that you have need of, he said, it was given to you in the new birth. That if you had need of something, that you've already received it. If you're an heir of God and joint heirs with Christ, then if that's the position that you and I are in, then praise God, then we've got all the things that we have need of, and it's readily at our disposal. Because if we're standing here today and we have need, if we're sick tonight, then you know what? He's already took the stripes on his back, and he's already completed it. He said, by his stripes we were healed. So that's a finished work. Then if you're standing here, if you're sitting here tonight, then if you have a need in your body, then guess what? The healing's already been completed. It already lays there before you. All you got to do is accept it. All you got to do is claim it. All you got to do is realize that tonight that he's a squatter. The devil's a squatter on your property. And all you got to do is cast him out. You don't have to stop. You don't have to back up. You don't have to apologize to the devil. You don't have to apologize for who you are. You know, I was listening to a Jew one time and said, well, you know what? It wasn't me that called me to be a Jew. But, you know, because what God done for me, God done that. I didn't have anything to do with it. But I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to apologize for who I am. God's called us to be separate from the world, to be completely separate from the world, called out of the things of darkness. God has called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. Well, we don't have to apologize for what God's done for us. We don't have to apologize for what God has showed us. Why? Because that we realize there's a special class of people that has been called to this. It's not called to the whole wide world to see it. But there's only a special group that's going to be able to see this. See, God has called us into this. God has a plan, a purpose. He has a way that he wants everything done. You know, we find a place in the scripture when we see a group in the Old Testament that came together, and you know, they had their own way of coming together, and they wanted to have great things and have great things take place, and you know, they all came together and they had their all of the things together, what they wanted, the purpose and all the things that they wanted to have together, and they got this great idea that they wanted to go out and build the Tower of Babel. You know, because the wickedness in the land had got so great, and they all wanted to build a great tower to their ideas and their thoughts and how great they are. And, you know, this is their great monument to what their achievements are in this world and everything. And we realize that God allowed all this thing to take place, and then he destroyed it, and he separated all the different languages and everything like that and split all the people up. Why? Because when everybody came together and tried to do what God, then God tore it all down, and he separated it, and he busted it all up. And here's Brother Branham speaking. He said, you see that as they traveled, they come into this fair land. He said, and they united themselves as one people. He said, now that's all right, but they united under the wrong leadership. He said they had united under the leadership of man. He said, and God wants man to unite under the leadership of himself. He said he wants us to be one, but he wants us to be one with us. But he wants to be one with us. But man wants his fellow man to be his leader and unite under the wisdom of his fellow man. And he continues on. See, he said, see how striking it is? He said, that's the reason that he wants to be is because that God designed him for that purpose. God designed man to unite together. God designed man, made him up to be one, to work together, to cooperate together. He said, that's the makeup of man. That's the way God made him, but man always wants to have his idea about it. He said he wants to project something that God never intended him to do. He wants to figure his own ways out. He wants to make his own plans. He said, but he won't accept the plan that God made for him because it's his fallen nature. See, God called a man, and he's got a purpose, and he's got a plan that he wants man to come through. But you know, everybody, they get their own ideas on how things are. And as they did when they tried to build the Tower of Babel, they had this great plan of what was going to take place and what they could achieve and all these things that was going to take place and how great they are. But the problem is it never amounted to anything. But you know, we see everybody, there's so many people that have tried to come up with their own ideas and their own thoughts or how they were going to work things out and how things were going to come, and you know, they want to be so great. But when God begins to speak to them and tell them exactly what it needs, what you've got to do to come to the place to be great. If you want to be like him, if you want to be like Jesus Christ, then what you've got to do, many times people come to the place and realize it's too great of a sacrifice. because there was the rich young ruler that he came and it had this great plan. He come and recognized who Jesus was, and he told him, he said, "What, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" See, he realized he was insignificant. But when Jesus began to talk to him, and Jesus loved him because he saw what kind of life that he lived. He's like, "I've done all these things since my youth. Look at all the things that I've done in my life. I've kept the law. All the things that I've been taught all these time." But see, when Jesus began to discern his life and come to the place and realize, there's one thing that's holding you back. There's one thing that's hindering you from coming to the place that you need to come to. And he said, it's your riches. He said, you need to get rid of everything, sell everything, give it all away. Just get rid of it. Why? Because it's such a hindrance to you in your life. It's holding you back from the place that you want to come to. When Jesus standing there, the Word of Life is standing, the Son of Man standing face to face with him, began to speak to him and tell him exactly what he had need of, what he needed to do, and it was too great for him. It was too much for him to give that up. And he walked away sad, sorrowful. He had all that he had need of. And didn't realize the greatest thing was standing in front of him. "Oh, I've got great barns. I got to tear down and build bigger. I've got so much." When he's sitting out there one day thinking, "You know what? I can just take it easy now. Look at all the wealth I've accumulated. I've got all this prestige. Oh, look at all the things that I have in this world." And not realize he sold his own soul for bigger barns, for wealth, for a good name. All the things that he sold out for. But when it come to time that he had to give an account for his life, none of it mattered. None of it was never accounted to anything. Brother Bram says here in the Queen of Sheba. See, he's talking about the people and their lives and the things that they go through. He says, "What a disappointment it's going to be at the day it's going to be at judgment." He said, "When men who thought that they were all right because they had faith to heal the sick, because they had faith to operate a gift, they had great meetings, great evangelist service, and won souls. But see, all the things that they had done," and he says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." When they come through all these great things and done these great things, he said, "Lord, look what we've done, all the great things that we've done." And Brother Bram says, "See, it takes more than power of gifts. It takes more than just joining church." He said, "It takes the birth of the Holy Spirit to break down our walls and to unite us together as one great Christian body moving for one objective and one goal." See, we have to move beyond all these things. See, that's what God's purpose is for us. For us to come together. See, you've got to lay down all of your thoughts and ideas. You've got to lay down everything. And say, "Lord, what do you have me?" Look in the Scripture to find out what God wants from you. He said, see, that's the God's purpose. We find here in sin in the Holy Ghost was one purpose, that God himself might dwell in his church and continue his plans through the church, that God was in Christ, continuing his plans through Christ, out of Christ into the church, continuing his work through the church. So he continues his work through the church. So what God had in his mind, it's come to us to do that thing. To the plan of God for us to come, understand what the purpose of God is for our lives. And, to see what God wants us to do. And not see it as anything insignificant. But if God's called us to this, then you know what? It's not insignificant. What God has called us to. What God has laid before us. See, God has equipped us to do these, to what God wants us to do. And if we work to, because we have to work together. Because you have to do your part and I do my part. And it's all of us working together. But you know, there's one thing that you're going to find out, and I know we all know it. But you know, anytime you get in your mind that you're going to do something for God, and God's called you to do something, there ain't no day that doesn't pass by that you know that the devil's not there to hinder everything that you try to do. When you get something, God lays something on your heart, and you just think, you know, I know this is the will of God for me, and you just feel like this, you're led to do something, and everything that comes against you, and there's nothing that goes right, and you think, well, why in the world is that the way it is? You know, why is it that, you know, I was thinking about the message, you know, Brother Branham preached the message, recognizing your day and its message. And, you know, Brother Branham was talking about, he felt like the Lord was trying to tell him something. He kept trying to get the mind of God. And he said, I kept trying to pray. And he said, you know, he said, I ate something that made me sick. And he said, I kept falling asleep. And he said, you know, I kept driving. And he said, every time I kept trying to yield myself and trying to get to find out what the Lord was trying to tell me, you know, it was just like everything was just coming against him. It was just like, you know, but you know, Brother Branham never gave up on that. Every time that thing kept going on, he, you know, he just kept going and kept going. He said, you know, he just kept yielding himself. He just kept praying and he kept seeking God, trying to get the, and he said, you know, it was early in the morning, you know, he finally, the Lord broke through, you know, come through and began to speak to him and tell him, he said, you know, I just got this message to bring to you this morning. So, you know, whatever God has for you, you're going to find out the devil's going to hinder you. He's going to try to hinder you in everything. Well, praise God. You know, if you realize it's the will of God for you to do something, then, you know, when you just keep pressing on and don't give up, you just keep pressing forward because, you know, because the devil's going to hinder you in every way, shape, form, and fashion. But praise God, we've been given this contest. Because a contest is a test of strength. Brother Bram said, and so you got to see the greatest contest there is, but is between the church and Satan. So you got to realize that he's coming. Brother Bram said, he's the great strength of Satan. But he said, you know, there's a great strength in the church too. See, we realize that, see, God has called us to this. God has called us. See, the devil's going to try to hinder you. But praise God that when Satan's trying to hinder you, God is still there. And guess what? You just got to keep pressing in. You just got to keep pressing forward, because if you keep fighting this battle, then you're going to see that he's going to break through. That God has something for you. You know, just like Daniel there waiting on 21 days praying, you know, because the Lord tried to speak to him, but you know, he prayed and he was searching and looking for an answer. But you know what? God sent him an answer. God had an answer for him, but you know what? He just kept waiting and waiting and waiting. He didn't know when he was going to come, but you know what? God didn't give up on Daniel. God already had his answer coming to Daniel. But you know what? You know, but he said, you know, there Michael had to come and help him. But you know, Gabriel came and spoke to Daniel. He said, you know, great, you're greatly beloved of God, that he wanted to talk to you. And he had an answer for you, Daniel. And you know, he thought about you coming and seeking God for an answer for these things that you saw in the Word. Well, you know what? If you have a question in the Word, then he said that he would, Brother Ram said that he's obligated to put somebody behind the pulpit to give you an answer. Then you know what? Then if you've got an answer, don't give up on your questions. You know, I've had questions in my life that it takes years and years and years to get an answer. There's things that are not clear. You just hold on to them, and it's like, well, I don't understand this and I don't understand that. But you know, one of these days, if you never get into the Word, just like Daniel, you know, he said he was studying by books and was reading what the prophets had to say, reading Jeremiah and the different ones. Hey, when he began to read those things, he began to see these things. He began to pray about it. And people, you know, they talk about, well, they don't know, I don't understand certain things. It's like, well, have you ever read it? You know, you find people, you know, Brother Dale and Brother Wade, they definitely know, you know, you hear these people and you know, they don't know the first thing about Daniel's 70 weeks, but some of them don't even own a Daniel 70 weeks book. When you don't even own the book and you've never read it, you've never listened to the tapes, how in the world do you expect to ever understand anything if you've never got into the Word? You know, if you don't ever begin to study these things and read, then all of a sudden, you know, people, well, you know, I've never read that. Well, how are you ever going to get anything? It's like, you know, people expect, you know, you go to school, you know, they send you to school every day for 12, 13 years, whatever it is. You never crack a book. You never carry a pencil. You never do anything. And you wonder why you don't learn anything. Well, you know, if you just go and sit in a classroom and stare at the ceiling all day long, you're not ever going to get anything. Well, if you come to church and you're so uninterested in what's going on that you're looking at the back of your eyelids, and you know, and if you're not interested that you ever go back and listen to what's being said, when the brothers give us tell you, like Brother Wade was saying, you know, I want you all to do now. We're getting ready to get into the church ages. You ought to read the church age book. Well, if nobody ever looks at the church age book, if you never listen, if you don't even listen to Brother Branham preach the church ages, if you don't ever listen to any of it, you never read the book, you never listen when they, you know, you can actually hear the church age book written. Somebody actually read the book and you can actually listen to the tapes of it. You don't even have to read the book. You can just listen to audio of it. But if we never take the time to even look in the book, if we never take the time to do that, or when Brother Bob has told us, listen, go back and read this chapter. You know, if you never go back to even skim the chapter, if you never listen to the chapter, well, if you've never taken the time because you don't have the desire, then how do you expect to grow? Then how do you expect for anything to take place? Well, sometimes if things happen, you know, when they'll tell us things. Well, you know what? If we take them and actually apply them to our life, then things will happen. You'll actually see, because sometimes, is that just Brother Bob speaking? Or is that just Brother Luis saying something? Or is that actually God speaking to us, wanting us to take heed to what's being said? Then if we can actually do that. Why? Because sometimes, I just tell you the fact straight up, sometimes I'm the one saying, Lord, I'm sorry. Because you know what? They'll tell me something, because I hear Brother Bob say something like that, and then later on it's like, you know what? I didn't even look at that. And, I apologize. And I say, Lord, I forgot. Sorry. But Lord, bring it back to my remembrance. Because, you know what? I'm human. I make mistakes. I fail. But, you know what? I don't want to be like that. I want to continue on. See, God has called us. He wants us to do these things. See, the Holy Spirit, we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit do a work in us. Brother Bram said, he said in the message, what is the Holy Ghost given for? He's speaking of the Holy Ghost. He said, see, it's to give unction to the preacher. He said, it's to give holiness to the group. It's to set the church in order. He said, it's to bring unity of spirit. It's to unite us together with power. It's to unite us together with love, brotherly love. He said, there's nothing present, nothing future, no hunger, starvation, nothing that can separate us from the love of God. He said, the love of Christ, the love of God that's in Christ, because we are born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. We are a new creature. That's what God came to do. That's what the Holy Spirit's for. So that's what God has called us to do. He's called us to this. That God wants us to take these things because it's going to give us power. But you know what? You're not going to have power. You're not going to be able to overcome by yourself. It takes a body effort. Because I want you to understand, it is a body ministry. It's a body ministry. And you know what? You're important and I'm important. But you know what? You can't put yourself above me and I can't put myself above you. But you know what? I've got to put myself into a place to understand that I'm here to help you and you're here to help me. Because we're here to edify one another. God didn't call us just to be in one spot and just, you know, be an island unto ourselves. So you've got to work together. See, I want to speak on this before I close tonight. And this was something I was going to preach on in Honduras, and I only got to cover just a little bit of it. But I want to cover this tonight. You know, Brother Brandon was speaking one time, and he said, I was in a football stadium. He said, I was standing there, and he said, a sign said, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. And he said, that's right. He said, see, it's you've got to have a fight about you. He said, you got to get into it. He said, that's what you've got to do. And he said, you know, he said, anything that I hate to see is a spineless person call themselves a Christian. He said, God calls anybody. He said, they got grit and backbone. He said, as Buddy Robinson used to say, Lord, give me a backbone the size of a saw log, but plenty of knowledge in the gamble end of my soul, and let me fight the devil as long as I got one tooth and then gum him till I die. So you've got to come to that place. He said, see, that's what God wants us to do. He said, that's what God wants us to do tonight. God's always willing to give us, he said, if we're ready to receive it. He said, that's right. God made the promise, so it's ours. The promise is unto you and to your children and to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So the promise is here. That's what God has done for us. See, God has called us that he wants us to come to this place. We got to have grit and backbone. We got to realize who we are, and we've got to understand the fight is on and you can't give up. God has called you to this fight, and you got to realize that, you know what? You've got to do your part and you got to fight. You got to fight and be brave against all evil. You can't give up. Now, Brother Branham continues on here, and he was speaking of football. And, you know, he said, the problem is you got to realize that you got to work together. It's all a body ministry. And he said, the problem is people, he said, everybody wants to pack the ball and everybody wants to fight. And he said, the problem is they're fighting the man that's trying to carry the ball. He said, no wonder we don't get anywhere. He said, everybody's wanting to pack the ball. He said, when a correct football game is going on, they'll pass the ball to their best man. He said, altogether, we are in this great fight of life. He said, we ought to stand behind our pastor, stand behind our brethren with all that we got within us. Say, we got to all fight, and we got to all do what God has called us. He said, see, what do you think the Holy Spirit says in the presence of God? He said, there is not no division in the church of the living God. See, when you realize who you are, you've got to get to the place that God's called you to and do the part that you've got to do. Now, Brother Branham continues on here. He said, when they run the ball, he talks about there's two positions that he really talks about. He said, you know, he said, the thing is we want to do is not take the ball out of the man that's got the ball that's running it. We don't want to take the ball away from him. Now, he continues on here, and he talks about there's two positions that we ought to have that he talks about in football. The first one he talks about is being a tackle. When I played football, I played tackle. I know that surprised some of you, but I played tackle. I know what tackles do. But you know, when you play tackle, and Brother Branham also talked about playing a guard. When you play tackle, the first thing you got to do, you don't look at what everybody else is doing. The first thing a tackle's got to do is he's got to line up and see who he's supposed to be blocking. He's got to know what the defense is trying to do, because the defense is there to hinder you. You got to know what everybody, you got to see where everybody's lining up. The first thing you got to do is realize that when they line up on the other side of the ball, what they're going to try to do is try to deceive you. They're going to try to come in there and they'll bring people down, and you think they're going to rush when they're not, because as soon as they come down, they'll run back. They'll drop back in coverage. I know some of y'all may not understand that, but some of you will. Google it. But what happens is the first thing you got to do, you got to know who your man is. The first time I played in ninth grade, first time I ever played in a football game in my life, organized football, I blocked the wrong man. They sacked our quarterback. You know what? I was nervous. I was all excited. I was jittery. But you know what? After I had screwed up and I went back in the huddle, you know the first thing they didn't do? What are you doing? You know what? They just lined back up. Hey, we're going to get them this time. They didn't chew me out. They encouraged me. You know why? Because some of the guys on the football team, they'd been playing a long time. I hadn't. But you know what? They got in there. You know what? It was like, listen. And then I had somebody tell me one time, it's like, do you know who you're supposed to block? Yeah, I think I know who I'm supposed to block. But you know what? It takes time. Why? Because everybody, but you've got to know what your position is. You know, I didn't look at what the quarterback's doing. I don't look at what anybody else is doing. I got to know where I'm at on the field. I got to know what my job is. And I got to recognize what's going on for my position. Because if I spend all my time, if they got ready to snap the ball and I'm looking at somebody else and trying to figure out what everybody else is doing, I'm no good. I'm not effective. I'm not doing anything. So many times, people are like, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Everybody's got their eye on everybody else. It's like, well, let me ask you a question. Before you start asking what everybody else is thinking and doing and everything, it's like, have you prayed about it? You know, they used to sing this song many years ago. And it was like, if you see me doing something wrong, it says, then you go and tell Jesus on me, that man from Galilee. Said, don't tell another, not a sister or a brother, but go and tell Jesus on me. You know, if you see me doing something wrong, the first thing y'all do is go tell Jesus about it. Well, you know, whatever. Oh, did you see that? Well, you know what? If you do that on a football field, you know what? You're not effective. Then what are the tackles to do? They're on the end. Then you're looking for somebody that's coming. You've got to block. And you've got to know how to block. And your guards, the next two men on the other inside of the line, on the other sides of the tackles, are your guards. That's exactly what they've got to do. Brother Branham said, we got to use our influence as tackles. We've got to block. We've got to support those that are running. He said, because the tackles that protect the runners. He said, we should be tackles. He said, be a guard. Guard the ball. He said, the Holy Spirit is trying to pack it. See, he said, it'll condemn sin. It'll condemn unrighteousness. He said, it'll manifest and glorify Jesus Christ. He said, it'll bring his person into the midst of the people. See, if you can be the position that you need to be, you guard those people. Well, how do we protect each other? By prayer. When you pray and you're here in church, and when you're in fellowship with your brothers and sisters, because you know what? You gather strength from one another. Then he said, that's the reason he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Then we pray for one another. Because you know what? You've got to pray, and I've got to pray for you. To strengthen each other. See, he said, guard your man. Guard, protect the ball. See, that's what God wants us to do. See, guard them. Those that are going to run the wall. He said, see, keep the rest of them so they can run. Keep guarding them. And he said, we'll have a touchdown after a while, and Jesus will come, and then it will all be over. See, God has called us to do these things. How do you protect? One thing is Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. That's what God wants us to do. If you want to be effective in the plan of God, then know what your position is. To submit yourselves, obey what God has for us to do. And then he says, Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we are so compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. See, we're all called to do these things. God's given us a job. But I want you to know one thing. God wants us to be guards, tackles. But you know what? You have a time. You've got to run the ball. We've all got to run the ball. In your life, your daily life, as you go through life, just like Brother Bram talked about, a man going to work with a lunch pail under his arm. That's Jesus Christ to the world. A woman doing her washing clothes, going about her daily duties. See, that's where God's going to say, you've got to carry the word. You've got to be the light to the world. See, there's times where you can't carry the ball. We're protecting the others. But you know, we're supposed to protect you when you carry the gospel. You know, Brother Bram said, I'd rather you live me a sermon than preach me one. See, it's not just about preaching it, but it's all of us coming together. Brother Bram says here in the Angel of the Covenant, he said, we all have to work together as one unit. He said, we have to get our differences away and lay aside doctrines and things and put our arms together and press forward and take the promise that Almighty God has given us. He says, unity is not an isolated thing, brethren. Unity is for the whole body of Christ. You know, there's so many times that people have taken things and, you know, and things have happened. And instead of trying to draw people in, you know, brother, they told Brother Branham, it's like, well, you know what? We're going to draw you outside our circle. And Brother Branham said, well, that's all right. You can draw me out. I'm going to draw my circle bigger and draw you back in. You know what, Brother Branham, just because Brother Branham disagreed with people, you know what, it didn't stop him from loving people. It didn't stop Brother Branham from calling him their brother. He didn't compromise on the word with people. But you know what, he showed them the love of God. And sometimes people, you know, they don't want to have anything to do with anybody. But you know, there's no way to show the love of God that way. I was listening to somebody the other day, and he's a denominational preacher, and you know he was standing up and he was talking about that there's so much stuff that goes on in the world today, and you know there's all these celebrities and different things like that. Well, you know, he just stands up and tells them, listen, this is what I believe, and I believe that's wrong. But you know, he's not against people, but he wanted the world to know that the world is full, and he's like, people, you know, just like the Methodist Church and different ones, everybody wants to come up with their a better understanding of the Scripture. And he stood up and said, well, you know what? You can try to come up with a better understanding of the Scripture. But he said, but two men living together and two women living together, he said, that's incompatible with the Scripture. He said, you'll never bring that together. He said, there's no place in the Scripture where that stands. But he said, listen, he said, you know, you people are trying to come up with, you know, trying to understand it and love people. If you want to love people, you show them what the Word says. That's all. That's the love of God. It's the Word of God. And you know what? And people are not going to accept it. They didn't accept it in Jesus' day. And if they don't accept it, well, you can't help that, but you can still love them and show them what's truth. And you know, he was talking about some man had went to some, he said he was speaking for the black church. And this man was a black minister. And he told him, he said, listen, he said, you don't speak for me. He said, well, you know, there's so many people in the black church that live that lifestyle. And he's like, listen, hey, they were apologizing for the way they've been treated. He said, you don't speak for me. And I thought it was really good because he began to speak. But you know what? He wants people to see what the truth is. And the only way that you're going to show the love of God is through the Word. And you know what? You can't compromise on the Word. Because you know what? If you just let people just go and do whatever they want to do, then you're doing a disservice to them. Because if you don't answer, because if you've been called of God to give an answer to the people, to explain them what the Scripture says, then on the day of judgment, you'll answer for that. But you got to tell the people what the truth is. To let them know, listen, this is what God's called us to. This is what truth is. You know, because God wants us to know what the Scripture says. And you know, God called us to this message. And when he called us to this truth, people, well, you know, Brother Branham was wrong here, Brother Branham was wrong there. But you know, there's a lot of things that people don't, you know, when you begin to look, you tell me what Brother Branham brought out of the Scripture that was wrong. Let's look into the Scripture and let's start bringing things out of the Scripture that Brother Branham said. When you begin to start to look at in the things that came out of the Scripture, tell me where, when he preached the future home, you tell me where what he brought out of the Scripture. That was something that nobody understood. Nobody else saw those things. Tell me where Brother Branham was wrong when he preached the 70 weeks of Daniel. You show me when he started to preach the seals, the things that he brought out. You show me the things that's not in the Scripture. No, they want to take things that you know, well, how many people fell off the bridge and this or that. No, show me where he didn't preach the Word. You know what? There was three things that he said that the Scripture talks about. There's three things you man's got to watch out for. Money, women, and popularity. You show me where Brother Branham failed on that. You show me where Brother Branham didn't stand up and live the life that when the men that stood around him, they disagreed with Brother Branham, but they stood up and they began to preach and said, we saw Jesus Christ walk in our day. Then all of a sudden when Brother Branham's gone, then they're like, oh, well, you know, we want to argue about things. I told him, I said, I don't put a lot of stock in a lot of that. Because, you know, I had a friend of mine when I was in school. His name was Jimmy. And Jimmy wasn't that big. He was kind of a small and he's slim guy. But he always liked to get around me when he wanted to, like he wanted to show off to people. Just in a comical way. But, you know, he'd always come up to me and, you know, he'd always pull my arm up in front of him like this. And he'd hold my arm on his chest. And he would stand in front of people and say, you better be glad he's holding me back. And he'd always stick his chest out while he had my arm in front of his chest. And he'd stand there and say, well, you know, I told him, I said, that's exactly the way I see these people that want to condemn Brother Branham. They want to tear down this message. I said, that's exactly the same way they are. That's the same ridiculousness that I see. But you know what? God has called me. And if nobody else believes it, I believe it. I'll take the way with the Lord's despised few. But you know what? God's called us to this place. And I thank God for him bringing me here. And I feel a closeness here. I feel a unity here. And I don't want anything to happen to that. I just want us to draw closer to him. And if we draw closer to him, we'll draw closer to one another. Because it's the hour's late. And we don't know how much longer we got. But I want to be faithful to what he's called me to. God bless you. Let's have the musicians stand. Let's all stand. The musicians come. Let's sing that little song if we can. We'll give the glory to Jesus. And tell of his love, and tell of his love.
We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his wonderful love. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his love. And tell of his love. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his wonderful love. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his love, and tell of his love. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his wonderful.
Amen. Amen. Brother, you had a song? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart with love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he'll answer by and by. And we'll feel a little prayer, we'll turn in. Know a little fire is burning. You'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Sometimes our path seems drear without a ray of cheer, and then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. Then the mist lies and hide the stormy skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears away. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. We'll answer by and by. And when you feel a little prayer, we'll turn in. Know a little fire is burning. You'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and Jesus is a talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. We'll answer by and by. We will feel a little prayer. We'll turn in. No little fire is burning. Have a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my path seems drear without a ray of cheer. Skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears away. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he'll answer by and by. Feel a little prayer, we'll turn in. Know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with makes it right.
Amen. Let's give our brother another good hand. And let's remember Sister Anna and Sister Melka. They're kind of trying to help Sister Christine. You know, she had an accident about a week ago or so, and she's trying to recover from that. And she's not been working, so they're going to go down and take care of them. But Brother John and Sister Alicia sent a message a little while ago, and they brought some pillows, and they want them to be prayed over by the congregation so we can take them to Mom and Dad. They just don't know. Dad has not slept on a pillow in... Months. Close to a year. He probably hadn't laid down much. So, anyway, come on, bring them up here. And we're going to pray over these. And ministers, I tell you what, everybody come up here.
Amen.
Everybody. Sure, you sure can. While they're coming, go ahead.
Well, a while back, it came on my heart, like, to get some pillows for Brother Dale and his wife to be able to sleep well and stuff. Because I know when you don't get enough sleep, especially when I don't get enough sleep, I just don't think straight. Like, I feel my mentality isn't even right. And it came on my mind, like, a couple of months ago. And I bought the pillows, and then my mind just came, well, maybe I shouldn't do it. And then we end up taking them back. And then it just came back on my heart again, like,
sure,
real strong.
Sure,
like,
sure.
I talked to John about it, prayed about it. And I was like, we got to go get these pillows. But life is so short. We can do all we can, you know, by His grace.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. All right, while we're coming, we'll just lay them right here. And before you leave, lay your holy hands on them. And we're going to pray over it now. All right? And then we'll take these. And y'all just don't know how much sleep my dad's lost, and so that makes my mom lose sleep, and that makes all of us that stay with him lose sleep too. That's right. Well, I hope they both sleep on each pillow. I promise you, it's just the devil. We know that it's just the devil. So we're going to anoint these, biggest anointing cloth I believe I've ever prayed on, but that's enough right there. That'll get it. We'll get it all anointed, and when they lay their head down, fall asleep just like that. Amen. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, this has been laid on our brother and sister's heart, Lord, for a purpose. That, Lord, it would accomplish exactly what the Scripture says, Lord. That we call the elders of the church and we pray the prayer of faith. And, Lord, that you will raise them up, Father, whoever these pillows go to. And, Lord, to our mother and father, Lord, I pray that as these go, Lord, to the evening time, Lord, when we all try to lay down on a pillow and rest a little while, Lord, that you'd give them rest. And, Father, that you would bless them, Lord, and take care of them and keep them. Let the anointing never fall off of these cloths, Lord, that are on here and also on the pillows itself, Father. I pray, Lord, in the name of the Jesus, that you take care of these people, Lord. They need comfort. They need rest. We all need rest. We all need time, Lord, to process everything that's going on, Lord. And we know that your hand's on everything. And you allow things to happen, Lord, and maybe to bind us closer together, Lord, that we'll stand here today with our hands laid on these cloths, Lord, and these pillows, Lord, that they'll be taken, Lord, and used for your honor and glory. And there'll be a report, Lord, that of miraculous things happening, Lord, as we've seen many, many times. Lord, as we pray, and we pray in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus, and all the congregation says, amen. So touch this thing before you go, and you're dismissed as you are. Go with the Lord. Come Friday, Saturday if you want to, by 12 o'clock, and we'll have fellowship with the Ohio group. And then he'll be ministering, Brother Isaac will, on Sunday. God bless you. Be careful going home.